Omaha Steaks Black Friday deals landed early. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites, including incredible deals on USDA-certified tender Omaha Steaks. These are the deals you've been waiting for all year. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code BLACKFRIDAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Grassroots Marketing continues now. We're going to go ahead and talk about a veteran-supported cannabis business of hemp-derived THC and cannabidiol CBD-based products in Texas that recently announced the formation of the Texas Hemp Business Council, a nonprofit trade organization focused on advancing and protecting hemp-derived products in the Lone Star State. I'm here right now with the two of the founding board members. That's Chief Strategy Officer at Hometown Hero, Cynthia Cabrera, and VP of Sales at Hometown Hero, Ryan Oakwood. Cynthia, Ryan, thanks for being on with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Our pleasure. So the creation of this council, when it was announced, you may mention, of quote, that sales of hemp-derived cannabinoids in Texas generate more than $8 billion annually. Industry employs 50,000 workers, contributes to a $22 billion supply chain, and that the council helps to ensure that these consumer goods remain legal in Texas while giving adult consumers and veterans continued access to hemp products that have become vital to their everyday lives. So the prompting of this here and, you know, the fact that you brought it upon yourselves, what can you tell me so far about the response to it, who's come on as well to, you know, in a way to offer membership for people to come on board. Tell us about what's happened so far in the last month or so since the formation.
Well, since the formation, we've had a hearing at the state capitol where the subject was hemp products and whether to prohibit them for sale at all. And there was some murky language in there, but the Hemp Council really was started, the Texas Hemp Business Council was started because we realized that we have a challenging session ahead of us in 2025. And the fact that there was a hearing and there were interim charges announced by the lieutenant governor, who also runs the Senate, we realized that we really had to step it up. And the formation of the association was to give and encourage our retail customers, our partners, distributors, that kind of thing, to join in the fight and work with us to ensure that we can keep the hemp market going in Texas.
And one of the things you created in start because of that presentation to the Texas Capitol is the Don't Mess with Hemp campaign. And there are 10 reasons that you make about the positive economic and social impact of hemp-derived CBD in Texas. And with that said, your CEO, Lucas Gilkey, made a point of says, prohibition will only put consumers at risk due to illicit market and the economic damage of it in terms of business failures, job losses, and adjacent economic activity to Texas would be too great. So what can you tell me right now about what it is that they're looking to go ahead and what we're trying to avoid here? Because I know that at the moment, hemp-derived products in Texas, they include full panel testing for all consumable cannabinoids, and COAs, certificates of analysis, have to be required and available to every consumer. What is it they're kind of getting cracked down on? What is it? What's the real outlying problem that they're dealing with?
There is no problem. So that's, you know, that's part of the mystery of this thing. And what's interesting is that we went to the hearing. It was, I think, the 29th of May was the hearing. And it was supposed to be focused on hemp. And interestingly, half of the hearing was devoted to the Texas Compassionate Use Program, which is the medical marijuana program.
Right.
So it really seemed like the two things were being pitted against each other, despite the fact that the TCUP program had not been mentioned in the interim charges. There was a lot of discussion about it in terms of, you know, that program isn't doing well. It's a very restrictive program versus how the hemp market is thriving in Texas. And so some folks think they need to put a stop to that.
And what I was trying to say was just the fact, I mean, what is it that the legislature is trying to go ahead and correct here? They think they need to go ahead and do something about it. That doesn't make sense. I mean, for on top of that, where, you know, they're trying to, if it feels like you're kind of even trumping what the hemp bill is in place right now federally, and, you know, that's still in place. But obviously some states will feel like there's certain things they want to go ahead and, you know, regulate. And I'm trying to figure out what it is that they're what they wanted to do here. So obviously they're very controlled when it comes to cannabis use at all, because again, only compassionate use is really as far as it goes, and then other hemp-derived products. But right now, they're talking about, and this is a story I'm taking from the Texas Tribune, that thousands of dispensaries are selling hemp-derived products that look, taste, and sometimes intoxicate similar to their more potent siblings. Now, what about the part where there might be synthetic cannabinoids being sold in stores, Delta 8, Delta 9? I mean, are they just, do you think like the policymakers are a bit confused about what they're talking about here?
I do think that is the case. There is no Delta 8. There's no synthetic Delta 8 or synthetic Delta 9. Those are actually illegal. They're already illegal. They're called K2 and Spice, right? Those are already federally illegal. They're illegal in the state. So anybody who's selling synthetic, like, go ahead and arrest them. So there's this really interesting thing. And if you, I don't know if you tuned in or looked at the transcript of the hearing from the 29th, but it was interesting because there was a lot of juxtaposition between the medical program and the hemp program. And the hemp program is thriving. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and the teacup program is not doing as well, right? But we are big believers in people having a choice. And if they want hemp products, they should be able to get hemp products. If they want marijuana products, they should be able to get marijuana products. And we support that. What we're looking at here with the legislature is an elimination of this market. And the numbers, that $8 billion economic impact that you mentioned, is from 2022. So it's only grown since then.
Yeah. The hemp bill is looking to go and be redone in the coming months federally. And, you know, obviously there's going to be some of those policymakers in various states. Georgia, I know, also has another problem with this as well, for the lack of, or for the real limitations they were able to go and do right now. But, you know, that's just a really big issue. And also, I'm reading also as well that there are medical cannabis distributors also asking for regulations of the hemp market. So within the cannabis industry, I guess there is within, they're also trying to go and talk about that there should be some regulation of the hemp market. I mean, what can you tell me about those companies that have also tried to go ahead and put, trying to put some more stricter regulations on the hemp from the medical cannabis side?
I would say that's word salad, because Texas was extremely proactive. And in 2019, they came out with regulations for consumable hemp products. So we've had regulations for 5 years. All somebody has to do is Google it, right? So for what you could call a competitor, and, you know, obviously the medical marijuana people view us as competitors for whatever reason, it's very easy to say, oh, they're unregulated, but that's absolutely and unequivocally not true. We have regulations since 2019. Anybody can look them up. They're not a secret, and you have to abide by them or they can revoke your license.
I remember going back, it was April 2019. I remember a talk with Lisa Pittman, who works with Trustin Burke in, I think it's Austin, Texas. And I remember going back to those days, and just, you know, where I feel like in 5 years when we were talking about where Texas was with hemp and cannabis, there's been no change, no really budging to it. And I mean, has there really been much of a difference right now in terms of this business council? Tell me what the business council now, obviously, you know, trying to create a coalition together to confront these policymakers about what they're trying to do. It's more just about education and informing them of what they might not be aware of. What conversation have you had with policymakers aside from the public meeting that you had on the 29th of May?
Well, nobody's in session right now. So everybody's gone back to their districts. And so right now we've been limited to what we submitted in terms of written testimony and verbal testimony at the hearing. But we do have meetings scheduled in the works. We have to wait for certain lawmakers to come back to Austin, or we have to go meet them in district.
And specifically right now, is there a governing body within the Texas state government? A control board has been put in place at all, or is it still within another parameter that's being like either a public health kind of bureau? Like, is there anything that's been set in place right now that really, you know, is responsible for what's being done in the regulations of the market, or has not been put in place yet?
Well, the medical marijuana program is under the auspices or under the authority of DPS. What is that? Department of Public Safety?
Yeah.
Right. The cops. And then the hemp program is under the Department of DSHES. So it's Department of something Health Services. I'm blanking out on it, but it's DSHES. Right. So they're under two different authorities, and which makes sense because, you know, marijuana is still federally illegal and illegal in the state. So it makes sense that they put it under DPS versus hemp, which is federally legal and legal by Texas standards. And so that just went over the Health and Human Services division.
Yeah, there's a lot here that it really, the clarity is what we're trying to figure out more of that is to be understood. And there's so much is being left out from all this. I just feel like it feels like it's being confusing, and it's there's the direction it can go. Because I think if they're not dedicating, you know, staffing or resources towards this, you know, it's kind of like a, as a block or a barrier to really get things taken care of, which is allowing the legislature to kind of move along and start making some significant changes that not other states would be doing.
Well, they do have people assigned to the hemp program. I think they mentioned in the hearing that they have two or three people that oversee the program. I think it was they have people that are dedicated to the hemp side within DSHES.
Right. So at the moment right now, you know, there are thousands of hemp dispensaries that are dealing Delta 8, Delta 9 with no restrictions everywhere in the state. And, you know, I mean, do you feel like there's some bad actors that are out there of some of the products that are being sold because of where they're being sold and what's being made available? Like, has there been really anything in terms of where the hemp bill doesn't offer enough groundwork or doesn't lay out enough regulation or give us any kind of a standard that needs to be set? Obviously, they're talking about, okay, certificate analysis, third-party testing, but nothing where we're going to get any kind of regulation towards the Cosmetics Act of 1920 that would be the barrier that, you know, of entry for companies if you were going to do it under a, like a corporate model. Like other companies, they have to follow a certain parameter of quality and standards and compliance. Do you feel like there are some actors out there that of companies that are just putting out there maybe this way too potent or the quality is just not that good that is causing some issues that is making it much more difficult for more legitimate and responsible companies like yours or those that serve on the council?
No, yeah, there's definitely a handful of bad actors within this industry and, you know, definitely within the state. And that ranges from anywhere from, you know, not doing age verification. With these products, we recommend 21 and up. Right now, there is nothing in place that really sets an age limit on hemp products. And so one of the things that we're proactive about on all of our products is child-proof packaging. We also require everyone to be 21 and up if you're going to be purchasing our products. All of our products also not only just have the COA certificate analysis for the potency of our products, but we also do full panel lab testing, which goes through heavy metals testing and also pesticide testing. And so that is also something that is not a requirement that takes extra investment on the companies that are operating within this industry to do it proactively because they're not required. And so I would say, yeah, there's a good chunk that, you know, just don't make the investment to add on those extra layers, which is something that we at Hometown Hero do. And so, yes, there's bad actors that operate in a way that say they could be importing products or doing products that may not pass the 0.3% by Delta 9 dry weight basis. And that is just an illegal product. But then you also have a set of bad actors that you could say they're bad actors just because they're not proactive in the side of adding in those extra layers of safety in their products as far as educating them on the packaging, right? Age restricting on their websites or at their stores. And then also adding those extra tests into their products just to ensure that they're consistent and that they're safe products that they're delivering to their customers.
And, you know, I would also add to everything that Ryan said, that every industry has bad actors.
Exactly.
Right. You know, it's just the way that every industry has bad actors. So the question is, do we get enough good actors that they drown out the bad actors? And you don't get rid of bad actors in any industry by shutting it down.
Right. So now what you're looking to do, obviously, with the Texas Hemp Business Council is to create an organization so to help promote and protect the hemp industry. You're offering lobbying efforts, education, public and government relations. The website is TexasHempBusinessCouncil.com. And also, let's go ahead and go to the Hometown Hero. So, you know, you're right there in the belly of the beast. You're in the Texas State Capitol, Austin, Texas. And Right now, you manufacture and distribute hemp-derived Delta-8 THC, Delta-9, Delta-8 THC, HHC, CBDA, and CBGA products, and been around since 2015. Quite a work that you do in terms of you donate a portion of all proceeds to various charities and organizations supporting veterans, and now you're looking to help your fellow business owners by putting this council together, and you're offering now a chance for customers to get new memberships, and you're looking to go ahead and try to round up memberships. Take a moment to go ahead and talk to our listeners about those in Texas listening to the program, why they should go ahead and join the Hemp Business Council.
And that kind of goes back to even a little bit of the lawsuit, even, you know.
Hometown, I've been with Hometown Hero for many years, but as an external consultant, it's just the past couple of years that I came in-house to work for the company. Ryan's been here from the beginning. And one of the things that happened in 2021 before my arrival, as an internal person to the company, was that Hometown Hero sued the state for attempting to ban Delta 8. They said that it was illegal. And you could do a whole other, you know, podcast on that. But the point is that Hometown Hero has always been like the tip of the spear in protecting the state and protecting the business, right? So Hometown Hero has always put itself out there. This is not just our industry, it's everybody's industry, right? And we protect it for the entire state. We don't make moves to leverage something only for our advantage. We, you know, our lawsuit could have been only for Hometown Hero, but we made it for the entire state, right? So with the legislature and the Texas Hemp Business Council, our goal is to get some help doing that, because we've been carrying a lot of the load on our own for the past several years. And it's not that it's unsustainable, it's that it's a lot. And we, you know, people are like, well, what's going on? I want to help. I want to join in. And we do have companies that write checks to Hometown Hero for those efforts, but there are companies that would prefer to do it through an association. And so we give them that option as well.
Wow. The thing is that this is where the Texas state legislature, they need to go and start realizing there has to be some, obviously, there's a response for hemp and cannabis regulation to go and allow more into the state. Because, I mean, it's just eventually going to happen. I mean, how long can Texas go ahead and resist, you know, the growth when they see various other states that are very much, you know, they're very much red states you want to talk about politically that have now, you know, included, and most likely you're going to have adult use in those states. Ohio just came in with it. Florida right now will have Amendment 3, which will most likely will pass, so adult use will be available in that state. And it's just a matter of time. If Texas wants to still be the last holdout, that's on them. But, you know, we know that with a compassionate use program and with, for, you know, all those companies that want to go and buy Delta 8, Delta 9 or other minor phytocannabinoids of hemp, they want to be able to buy in the stores. Give them the access. I mean, everything's in place when they're going to do that. And, you know, if you had a chance to go and talk, you know, is there anything you have right now in terms of where you'll be able to get sit-down meetings with any of these policymakers? Is that something that you've been working on? Is that something that they've been responsive to at all?
Yes and yes. And so that is part of the strategy. You know, people fall into three tranches, right? Either they're open to an idea and they're supportive of the idea, or they're in the middle where they're kind of neutral, they really don't have an opinion, or they're just against it, right? When people are against it, it's really more of a prohibitionist or moralistic approach to it, not necessarily driven by legislative directive, right? To your point earlier, how long is Texas going to hold out? Well, the legislature is meant to reflect the will of the people. Right. And the market has spoken. Hemp products, I mean, Ryan can talk more about what products sell really well and what people are looking for, which is interesting. And they are the ones that keep us in business. If people weren't purchasing our products, none of us would have jobs.
Yeah, I mean, people are voting with their money right now, right? And they're voting on hemp. And that's where you're seeing the compassionate use program kind of take a hit over the past few years, just because there are more effective, cheaper alternatives that
easier to access.
And that can get delivered directly to your home. And you don't have to, you know, go through a doctor to get a prescription and then go to a specific locations to then receive this product with, you know, certain levels of security that the medical side is required to have in place. And so right now you're seeing that demand, right? And I think that's where you're starting to see the legislative side feeling that pressure from the people, because the industry has grown so quickly. And the only way for an industry to grow that quickly was that if these products were bringing some sort of benefit to the people of Texas.
Right.
Hopefully there's more. We can see some changes here, and the more receptive policymakers are going to help out with what you're doing here. But I love the fact that, you know, the Hometown Hero was being so ambitious to put this Texas Hemp Business Council together again, texashempbusinesscouncil.com. And for those that go ahead and become members, can you share with listeners what they would be able to go ahead and get involved with, what comes with the membership, what will they be able to go and do with the membership?
Yeah, membership calls, updates, strategy updates. We'll let them know when we need them to show up or address their legislators with an ask. You know, sometimes the ask is, please move this bill forward. Sometimes it's, please don't move this bill forward, that kind of thing. Messaging that they can use for their customers, messaging they can use within their communities, that kind of thing. And remember, the session doesn't start until January. So right now, we're just trying to build up membership and get everybody trained up and ready so that in December, toward the end of December, beginning of January, we can hit the ground running.
Fantastic. I really appreciate you both taking time to go and talk to us. Again, Cynthia Cabrera, Chief Strategy Officer, Ryan Oquin, VP of Sales at Hometown Hero, and both founding board members of the Texas Hemp Business Council. Thank you both for being on with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.